Dear brothers and sisters, man is a conscious being. Ever since he is born, while 3 or 4 years old, child, you ask him who you are. He simply opens his eyes, opens his mouth, he feels something here. It's from consciousness of his own self, but he cannot explain. As he grows in years, the outer impressions he receives through eyes, through ears, and through other outgoing faculties. When you ask him after some time who you are, he says, I'm Mr. Joseph, I'm Smith, I'm Horn, I'm King, I'm such and such. Those impressions he receives, he begins to feel them like that. Again, when he grows more old, then you ask him who you are, he says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Sikh, I'm a Mohammedan, I'm a Jew. The child which has got little consciousness at the age of 3 years or so, he forgets all of them. He is so much influenced by the outer impressions, he forgets his consciousness, he simply says, such and such, and such and such. You follow my point? So masters came and they unraveled the mystery of life. Who you are, what you are. So all these advanced man has got 3 aspects, you see. It is physical, it has got intellect, but he is conscious being, he is a conscious entity. So we have made so much advancements in the physical way, in the intellectual way, and we have succeeded to a great extent to control the forces of nature and to press them into our service. But unfortunately, this control has come to us before gaining self-knowledge, knowing oneself, who we are, what we are, knowing oneself and our relation to humanity all around. So whatever discoveries we made and whatever inventions we have designed for the service of mankind are being turned instruments of destruction. That is why, because we have founded all these things before knowing ourselves, who we are. If we have known what are connected with other bodies, we are all conscious beings. God is all consciousness. We are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Had we known this relation, realized this relation, then all these discoveries that we have made, these would have gone to help us in service of the mankind. But as we have got these things before knowing ourselves, that is all this, they are turning for the destruction of mankind. So we want, instead of living peace based on fraternal love and goodwill, mutual trust and respect for each other as children of the same Father. This would have been achieved. All these discoveries and inventions we have got now in hand, you know very well. Physically we know so much how this physical body can be kept fit. We have got so many patties for that. Oldest is the Ayurvedic, then comes the Yunani system, then comes allopathic, homeopathic, naturopathy, electronity, that keeps our body fit, of course. How diseases arise, how those can be set aside. We have wonderful progress there. Intellectually we have advanced wonderfully, you know, that is before us. We can hear and see from thousands of miles who speaks, what he speaks, through the radio, the television. We can go around the world in hours. We have reached the moon, visiting other planets. With all these advancements, we are not happy. The reason why the third side, which is our own self, very self, which is conscious entity, we know little or practically nothing about our own self. We know only that much what is given in the scriptures, or we have written books, and nothing more. So this could have been achieved, the purpose could have been achieved for finding out all these outer discoveries and inventions made for the good of humanity, had we known ourselves first. So is it possible to know ourselves? Master says, yes. So the question arises, the preacher say, what is the knowledge of which makes everything else known? What is that knowledge? And they reply, knowledge of the beyond. That is paravidya. The master says, knowledge of the high self, the true man, the paravidya, or the knowledge of the beyond. This is one side. The other side is the exotic, what is called apravidya. So apravidya consists, you see, of an ethical and moral life and certain practices, certain rituals, certain performances considered necessary for obtaining the knowledge of the beyond. These are elementary. Now you see, we go to churches, we light the candle. We worship, we ring the bell. We perform certain things that way and that way. But now the man without what is the secret behind, what for these things stand, unless we know that, we are not satisfied. So we have been following all this, the awakening there, the man of today wants what? Something which can satisfy him in a well-defined, clear-cut science, capable of verification by his own experience. They say God is light. They light candle. You see? They ring bells. You find in a place where you worship the two symbols in God. What for they stand? If you tell us, then God, when he wanted, wanted many, there was vibration. And vibration is also two things, light and sound. So God is light, God is nada, God is the music of the spheres, reverberating in all place. For symbols of that we keep for the purpose of worship in churches, in temples, in all of the holy places of worship. So we have been following that, or we have been reading scriptures. What do they contain? Those are what masters had the knowledge of the beyond, they delved into the beyond, they rose above body consciousness, knew themselves. Whatever experience they had, they put it down for our guidance in the scripture. Now scripture tells us there is a world beyond, God is light, he is reverberating everywhere. So we have been going on that without seeing ourselves. So man of today wants to know, and every time you see any wicked man would like to have, he wants these all. We have been for years doing all that. So we have seen that light, we have been lighting candles in the sweet memories of God as a symbol of God. It is not the light of God, it is the symbol of God we have got before us. So unless we see the light itself, it's just like, excuse me, by there, where the masters have put it, this is just like a blind man who says God is light, God is regulating all creation, but he has not seen it. Simply goes on what he has read in books or heard. Of course, these are good actions, you see, because they are performed in the sweet memories of God. But real experience is something else. You are the doer. As you saw, so shall you reap. So unless you see that power working all through, that he is the doer, not we, then all these performances is just like preparation of the way, preparing the way for that. Apravidya is the preparatory ground for paravidya. But for all these outside men who come not satisfied after all what has been. So the man of today is not satisfied with the, unless he sees something well defined and clear cut thing which he can verify by his own experience. We should try to see and hear with our own ears and with our own ears rather than the eyes and ears of others. What you need in scripture, it is what they have seen, they have heard, not we. That is for only guidance, for our guidance, that such and such like that. But unless we see for ourselves, we cannot be convinced. So for that, the question comes of man knowing oneself. Is it possible for self-analysis, knowing oneself? So we will have to go in the mystery of the man, what is he? Master did come, they solve the mystery of man and found, and as common sense tells, that man is composed of body, intellect. So we are dressed physically, intellectually, wonderfully, as I just submitted to you. But we are not happy with all these advancements because we know little or nothing practically about our own self. Who we are, what is the relation to all mankind around us, and what is connection with some power controlling all creation and also controlling us in the body. So that is why I just submitted the small boy 3 years and you ask who you are, he opens his eyes, he opens his mouth, he feels something. But as he goes in years, outer impressions he receives, he forgets all that. The reason is, our soul is under the command of mind. And control is under the, our mind is in the control of outgoing faculties. Outgoing faculties are identified with the body and outside things so much so that we have forgotten also. Now you will find, we have forgotten, we are under great delusion, I would say optical illusion. Body is made of matter, it is changing. World around us is also made of matter, that is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are identified with the body, when two things are changing at the same speed, and we are identified with it, you see it is all stationary. When you come out of this illusion, you see everything changing. So for that reason, Master gave out all masters, whether he came in the east or the west, that makes no difference. They said, Greek philosophers, they said in their own language, O man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. You know, see, here comes. Old philosophers, Latin philosophers, also gave out the sense. Nazi tips. Persian philosophers, they say the same thing. The ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know self. He says, we have known so much about our physical body. We have known so much about intellectual ways. But if we are not known our own, about our own self, then the epicentricity was that we are fools. We are ignorant. So man has to dwell all around, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Other saints come, Guru Nanak says, unless you analyze yourself from mind and matter, and you do not know yourself by self-analysis, all this delusion cannot go. You cannot see the world going in its right perspective. So we are here, you see. Man is the highest in all creation. All masters have spoken very highly about it. It is sad to be next to God. Angels are asked to go down before remembered. It is a wonderful house we live in. But strange enough, we got so many apertures in the man's body. Two of the eyes, two of the nostrils, two of the ears, mouth, two of the knees. With these open doors, we cannot run away out of it. The body works so long as we are in the body. And we are in the body so as long as we are controlled by some higher power in the body. Otherwise, we could have run away out of it. That power which controls us in the body is God power, God in His special power, which has created all creation, all universe, which controls our universe and permeates our universe. So that power also within us, and we also reside in the same body. But the man body has been given us as a golden opportunity in which we can analyze ourselves and know ourselves first. Because if you know, to know that God which is controlling us, pervading all creation, then we must know ourselves first. To knowing oneself is the first step. God cannot be known by the intellect or the outgoing faculties. It can be known by the soul, which is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, and we are conscious beings. When we are analyzed by mind, outgoing faculties and body, rise above body consciousness, we will see that power is controlling us in the body. So first step is know self. To know self is in two ways. One, we generally do at the level of feeling or drawing inferences. That would do say, it is my body, it is my outgoing faculty, so it is my eyes. Now the point is, see, here's my spectacle. I can put it on. It is mine. Here's my watch. I can put it on. Here's my handkerchief. I put it on. Here's my coat. I can put it on. We say, it is my mind. Can my body? Can you put it? We say it is my, not I am not the body. I have the body. But can we put it on? We see it is my outgoing faculty. Can you control the outgoing faculty by working on it? So this is a matter of self-analysis. How to rise above these outgoing faculties? How to rise above this man's body? So this is man's body, the highest in all creation. It is considered to be next to God. It is a wonderful house in which we live. Some power is controlling us in the body. That power we have to know, and that is called God in creation power, which controls all creation and controls us also in the body. So truly speaking, the man is the true temple of God, in which we live, and that power that controls us in the body also lives. Is it possible to analyze oneself, to rise above body consciousness? That is all Master says, yes. When you are, where all the world's love is, and there the reason starts. Paravidya means knowledge of the beyond. So Master gave out that the remedy for all ills of the day, as well as the key to know ourselves. So Master tells us all is the divine. O man, body is the temple of God. Outer churches were made after the model of man's body. Hindu temples are made dome-shaped, headlight. And they are put in two symbols of God and crucifixion power, which is light and sound. As I submitted that when God wanted one, it could be many. There was vibration, and vibration is just two things, light and sound. So God is light, God is music of Israel, voice of God. So that power we are. God is all light and we are the children of light. Outer matter was made for the beginners to know what is within you. God is within you, and you are also in your body, the true temple of God. God expresses in the form of light and sound. Churches were made after the man body, long nose shaped. They put in there also the same symbol, two symbols, light and sound. Now, you will find in the temple, mosque was made of the man body, forehead shaped. Other churches, you will find the two symbols are put there, light and sound. You worship, you light the candle, you bring the bowl. This is something to show that man body in which you live, that is the true temple of God, is you. We draw from outside and rise above body, God, you will find it there. It is already there. So we are light, children of light. That is why it is enjoined, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. It is enveloped by covering of mind and matter. If you shake off those, you see light is there. It's only a matter of shaking off the sheets of the man body. So man got so many coverings, you see, physical order there got, you see, physical is there, karmic is there, there are so many other sheets. So we have got good bodies according to the macrocosm. So macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. They are playing their physical lesser in cosm. So first step starts there when you rise above physical body. This is knowing oneself why. This is a harder curve to shake now. But that is the first step. So Master said, well, learn to die so that you may be living. It is just something. Now you find churches, so these are for the beginners to show that such like light is and such like sound is within you. So man, unless he sees for himself what is what, he cannot be convinced. But all Master says, and the key to success to find himself first and then know God is know oneself. So knowing oneself is a matter of self-analysis, rising our body consciousness and outgoing faculties, the experience of which, demonstration of which can be given by a competent master who is adept in that way. In outer knowledge, you see, there are so many subjects. We sit by the in the feet of those who are adept in those subjects. All those knowledges, outer knowledges, exhaustive science, we need somebody who is expert on the way to guide us, to help us. What about that knowledge which is beyond all this? When you rise above body consciousness, with the world class is entered, there the religion starts. Religion means we means back, leisure to bind. To bind back ourselves with God. This is religion. But yoga also comes from the same word, root, yud, means to connect ourselves with God, unite us. It is already there. Why can't you feel now? Because we are soul. The outer expression of which is called attention. You see? The attention is identified with the body, outgoing faculties and outer desires. So much so, that you have forgotten ourselves. The only remedy is what? To know ourselves practically. The demonstration which can be given by your master, by your teacher. And you have also, I think, must have observed in your daily life, when a man is sitting in very much absorbed in some thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice. You do not hear. He comes up to you, "Well, dear friend, I have called you so many times. You have not replied," he says, my attention was absorbed from that." What does it mean? Sometimes your eyes are open, you are absorbed in thought, somebody passes by you, you don't recognize him, who has come or not. All this shows, unless our attention is with the ear or eyes, we cannot hear, we cannot see. So, knowing oneself, what does it mean? It means we draw in our outside attention from all outside and from the outer faculties. Take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, where the soul of the dying man leaves the body, and eyes are upturned at the back of the eyes. At the time of death, since we talk further, those who are initiated into the mystery of the beyond, they have got the same experience as a man has at the time of leaving his body at the time of death. So this is a process of withdrawal from all outside and rising about body consciousness. This is how we know ourselves. Why can't we do our own self? Because we are identified with mind, our own faculties, interests, so much so that we have forgotten. And all practices, all methods, all performed rituals and other things, they all relate to the own faculties, mind and interests, as well. So there needs somebody who can give us a boost without attention from all outside, raise up from the body, bring it to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes, and open your inner. So we can see God. Which God? Absolute know. God into expressing power, which is light. And all people tell us he can be seen with what eyes? If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. When is that? This is called single eye, or third eye, or latent eye, or the Shiva Netra. That opens only when your attention is withdrawn from outside. Attention is outcome, going outward expression of the soul. When that is withdrawn from all outside and from withdrawn from the body below, and is habited whole at the seat of the soul in the body, and there that eye opens. This is a process of knowing oneself, practical. Not at the level of feelings or dry influences. So both are subject to error, seeing them above. So modern man wants to see what is your heart, what is given in the scriptures, unless he sees he is not convinced. So most of the people are fed up with the outer performance are meant for something, preparation of the ground. But unless some are there to explain what is what, they only go on like a letter of the root, the letter of the root, lose the spirit. These are facts, require preparation to higher knowledge, but those who preach also, they are also ignorant, that's a pity. These religions came into being when? Out of religion, I mean. When masters left the sea. Those who met them, they also saw the mystery of none. Life, they knew themselves and knew the old self. These formations were raised with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit from joining that formation. As long as there were practical people who could give you demonstrations of all these things, it was going all right. For as time passes, for want of practical people, And further, from the day this faith preaching had started, you see, this preaching was only for those people who found some mystery, solved the mystery, and could explain practically to the other people.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was the first half of a talk called Why Do We Not Rise Above Body Consciousness, given by Master in Chicago on October 26, 1972. Our reader this morning is Eric Love. Hello, Eric.
Hello, David. Thank you. I'm reading tonight, or today, from a talk called Are You Servant of Your Mind? It's from the evening darshan in Rajpur, September 22nd, 1978. It can be found in the light. We put such stress on not hurting anybody's feelings. What is the spiritual significance of that? When one man hurts another's feelings, unknowingly, that's another thing. If anything is done purposely, that will react. If it is done unknowingly, never meant it, that won't react. But what you do purposely, that will react. Question. Will that person chase you around the astral or something like that? I mean, what is the spiritual aspect? If you do it purposely, you think evil about it. That's more potent. You hurt them by words or maybe physically. Naturally, this will react. Action and reaction will go on. The more still the water, the more it will reflect yourself. Question. I know. Is that worse karma than other kinds of karma to collect? Master. We incur many kinds of karma without knowing. Truly speaking, even to eat is a sin. Even vegetables are life. Although in the lowest form, they have got life. All creation is made of five elements. Are vegetables, reptiles, birds, animals, and man. In man, all five elements are fully developed. In animals, four. In birds, three. In reptiles, two. In vegetables, one. So, to know God, live on that which causes the least sin. To breathe is also a sin. Excuse me. We kill so many insects, and so many get trampled underfoot. We don't do it purposely. All the same, ignorance of the law is no excuse. You should become a conscious co-worker in all resolved. There is nobody to suffer reactions against you anymore. Is mind your servant, or are you the servant of your mind? If mind is your servant, it's all right. But if somebody lives in your house, and somebody takes you by the neck, and somebody by the nose, or by the ears, and dragged you here and there. Would you like that? Not. While you were in this body, you must be the master of the body. On account of you, the body is working. Would you like your mind to come and drag you here and there? That is not honorable. Your mind gets strength from you. at your servant who is dependent on you, yet your servant that is dependent on you is dragging you here, there, everywhere. Do you think it is honorable? Then why not say, wait, please. I'll attend to you later. Let us do this first. The mind wants some enjoyment. Tell him, all right, dear friend, wait. Make him wait. Friend him, you see. All right, dear friend, I'll attend to you. Let me do this work first. This is the best way I think. That tonight when you're sitting for meditation. Well, dear friend, what do you want? We'll see to that. Wait, let me finish this first. Wholly, solely do it, and you'll succeed. Do it tonight. Tell me in the morning. Friend your mind. Strike up a friendship with him. This is the best way. Try this morning and tomorrow morning. Otherwise, come along tomorrow and I will give you a setting. That's all I can say. Stop all reading. Question, all reading? Sir, yes. Are you writing any letters? Question, no, I just keep it there. Sir, a diary means that once in a while when you do something, you put it down, that's all. I'm afraid you are not putting in full time to your spiritual diet. If you were watching yourself fully each moment, then where will the mind go? The mind won't affect you. Question. Should I be spending all available time in trying to meditate? Let's see. Not trying. Doing. Question. Every moment of the day? Question. If you can do it, but you cannot do it, even for 2 hours, even if you do it correctly for half an hour, you will have the experience. It is not impossible. The word impossible is found in the dictionary of fools. This is what Napoleon said. There is nothing impossible. Great. Greatest man. Why are you belittling yourself? Are you not the son of God like all others? What is the shortcoming in you? You are simply led away by your servants. In many spiritual books you'll find the mind is not spoken of very highly. But I say, be friends with your mind. If there is a thief in your house, and you know he is a thief, he will steal all your books. But if you tell him, you're a very honest man, keep this money with you, I will take it back. You think he will take the money away from you? He's a thief. Small thief. But you have said, you are a very good man. You are very honest, very truthful. I'll leave this money with you. And you think you will save money in that way? You know he is a thief, but tell him, you are very honest, very truthful. Glad you have come here to live with me. I think he won't make a fool of you if you treat him in this way. So in the same way, befriend your mind. Give him enough to eat. Then sit down and meditate, saying, now, dear friend, let us remain still for a few minutes. Just try this way. I remember an incident of a man who went into the street and bought some melons, small melons. He took one or two and ate them. They were very sweet. His mind wanted more. Again, he took one or two more. After that, he thought, they are really very sweet. The mind still wanted more. Once, twice, thrice, he gave in. He then sat down. All right, he said. Now eat as much as you want. He finished up to the god. No, don't stop, eat more. His mind kept saying, this is a very drastic way, which I don't advise, but there have been incidences like this. After that, the mind never wanted anything more. Take more. No, no. I don't want any more. You see, he'll say no. Now he can be easily led by you. I don't advise you to try this way. I would advise the other way. Defend him. When he is afraid of you, he'll never dare to disobey you. Be the master of your house. When you meet a master, what does he do? He gives you some way to be the master of your house. And you are given servants to work at your beck and call. And those are the outgoing faculties. The way is there to come into contact with the non-power within. With that, the mind is controlled once and for all, forever. By the outer performances and rituals and doing this and that, the mind is still for a while, but then it rakes things up again. Once I remember, a very learned pundit came to our master. I was there. I had a talk with my master at the end. At the end, he said, will you kindly initiate me? He was initiated. Then he told the master, Master, I will become proficient within 3 months. I'll do everything you say and come back. The master said, all right, what more is wanted? He came back after 6 months. And fortunately, I was there because I had the privilege to be back with my master. He said, Master, previously I had been putting in 8 hours a day in worship, and my mind never disturbed me. Now I cannot sit for a moment. You see, it is because in the outward performances, the mind gets food. You light a candle. You offer flowers. Then you do this and that. The mind gets food. But in this way, the mind meets its death. He would prefer to go into the mouth of a cannon rather than enter within. So this only means to control the mind. Defend him. This is the only means to control the mind. Defend him. You won't do it the other way, the strong way. He will complain, I don't like to be such a servant. Why should I be? The easiest way is to befriend him for a while. Then do this. I think you follow what I say. All right, do it. This way is very easy. The other way I don't think you'll do because life is more dear to you. You won't force yourself. But in coming in contact with the non-power and befriending him, that you can do. What did Christ say? Get thee behind me, Satan. What does that mean? That means, now wait. So you have got two prescriptions. And the third one is to keep the company of the saint. But fully. Not when the body is there, but the mind is running away and somewhere else. That is no company of the saints. Be holy there. No thought should arise of the world while sitting there. And you'll see that the mind will stay still for a while. In the company of the Master, if he is Sharad, attention, controlled by radiation, he controls your attention. Mind gets food from the attention. When attention is not there, it cannot get water. Now, just these things. Sometimes we are sitting with the Master and thinking of such and such. Oh, who is sitting there? Your body is there, but you are not there. Even the stone, which is put near cold water, will become cold. But to speak of a conscious man. So, anybody else? You? Are you going on all right? Question. Yes, Master. I wanted to know, is it all right to keep pushing the mind to do as much meditation each day, as much as it possibly can? Just keep forcing it and forcing it? Master. You see, forcing is all right, but the loving way is better. All right, dear friend, let us enjoy this for a while. But have some discipline also. You will be able to do the meditation correctly only when you have control over yourself. But when you are fresh and buoyant. Question. We shouldn't try to sit all day long then? Master. Who can sit all day? All day means how many hours? 24? During the day, say 12? If you can sit even 2, 3, 4 hours, wholly and solely, then it's all right. In 12 hours, if you can really sit for 3 or 4 hours, that you might be able to do. But I'm afraid you won't be able to do. In the beginning, start from 2, then 3, then 4, and like that. Step by step, you may prolong the time. Or there's another way. We fast for 3 days. What sort of fast? The fast of the mind. Remembrance of God and no other thing. Do it. Temporary fasting, that will help you. After 3 days, then hunger is not felt. After 3 days, you don't feel hungry. So if you can do this, fasting from food, now fast inside from all outward things, having sweet remembrance of God helps temporarily. But we are worldly men. How can we do all that? Maybe we can do it for a week. All the saints in the past did it. Christ fasted 40 days. Disciple, yes, in the wilderness, Master. That is a true fast. Empty your mind. There is no harm in it. Do it while you're here. At mealtimes, you might eat something morning and evening. Then the rest of the time, think of no other thing except God. Sweet remembrance of God. Or the sweet remembrance of God, man. That's a good idea. We go for excursions 2 or 3 days in a month. Every week we enjoy one day off from work. Why not have the enjoyment of God every week or his excursion 2 or 3 days a month? These things are helping. That is required at the beginning in the early stages. When you are trained, even in busy towns, will enjoy his presence. Do that, please. You are here only for that. All these questions, you make a book. So I'm going to switch now with a letter, and it's called You need not worry about anything. This letter was in the October of 1974 Sandesh. Let's see. Find it here. Yeah. You need not worry about anything. Letter dated October 9th, 1961. I am glad that you have achieved a stable existence in a small rural town and have learned the trade of a printer to carry on a smooth life. A settled and peaceful life is a helping factor for the spiritual undertakings. My best wishes are with you all. I am sorry that you had for some long time neglected your meditations and grown careless in diet and generally lost interest in spiritual things. I am glad you are again meditating and have taken a turn for your spiritual side. This will stand you in good stead. You should not take things only from the physical angle. While one has to perform physical duties, the duties toward one's own self and God are not less important. Is not body more than raiment and life more than meat? What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? The physical life, together with all its possessions and allurements, is subject to decay and disintegration. The precious moments of earth life spent in the holy meditations are superbly best utilized and are a step in the right direction toward one's eventual return to one's true eternal home. Whether by ups, downs of the world, or inner yearnings, one is fortunate to tread on this path of deliverance. You have got the sacred books. At present are reading Nam or Word. What you read in these books is to become part of your life. And this you will achieve step by step if you are regular and devoted in meditations and develop within from day. Man is the noblest of all creation, and the highest ideal in this body is to meet the Lord. And for that purpose, he has to know himself first. Self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. Man has made wonderful progress physically and intellectually, but his spiritual side has been ignored. He is gaining control over the forces of nature in the shape of hydrogen bombs, which are threatening the destruction of all mankind. He has gained self-knowledge before having this control of forces of nature. Had he gained self-knowledge before having this control of forces of nature, these very things would have gone to the service of mankind. These weapons are being used for gaining supremacy over the other. Even the darkest clouds have a silver lining somewhere. To err is human. By suffering, one learns a lesson and tries to avoid sin and looks for a virtuous life. This threat of destruction will go a long way to change the trend of humanity for the better. To live and let others live too. Providence has his own miraculous way for guiding the destiny of child humanity. But the fact remains that a living master is a great blessing, and all those coming under his protective care and guidance will pass off unscathed by following his commandments as love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If we give more value to a thing that is intrinsically due it, the fear of its loss will be considerably out of proportion to the actual facts. You need not worry about anything. Being under the protective care of the great master power, you are really a blessed soul, having always at your disposal the faculty of drawing on that great power. The way how to do it is already within you. If you will just walk one step, he will come down a million steps to pull you, help you, and guide you at every stage. You need not worry about anything. Being under the protective care of the great master power, you are really a blessed soul, having always at your disposal the facility of drawing on that great power. The way how you do it is already within you. If you will just walk one step, it will come down a million steps to pull you, to help you, and guide you at every stage. You have simply to tune your receptivity to the fountainhead. The way to do it is faithfully obey him and devoutly carry on as enjoined. All actions have a corresponding reaction. An individual action has an individual reaction. Collectively, people are asked to do ethical actions. This brings up good collective reaction. Reverse of it produces collective bad action. Nature has its own way of correcting and fulfilling reactions of individual good and bad action. Likewise, collective reactions are to be fulfilled. One may not be able to truly understand the depth of these things, for his perception and understanding is limited to gauge these depths. Internal ascension into the higher regions opens our vision to see things clearly. We should therefore strive fully, honestly, faithfully, and diligently to proceed within. Those who are earnest and devoted are crowned with success. Many things become clear which otherwise, with all the reasoning and intelligence, will be at best hazy and foggy. But to those who are regularly devoted to meditation in the accurate way, inner development takes them face to face with the radiant form of the Master within, in which the God power appears, who talks to them as we talk outside, guides them in all matters. When the time comes for their leaving the physical body, it tells them they have to go. There's nothing strange in it. It is an everyday happening. The spiritual aspirants inculcate a sense of aversion to the sensuous pleasures as they have tasted the elixir of Nan within, and the grace with the grace of the Master. All beauty and glory lies within. If you will please be devoted, lovingly devoted, in your holy meditations, and in the accurate way as discussed in the copy of the brief instructions, which I enclose for your guidance, you will find that you will be benefited immensely with His grace. So please be lovingly devoted with deep faith and sacred earnestness. Master Power working overhead will extend all feasible help. So I'll stop here, and the two pieces I read is, first is, are you servant of your mind, which is found in the light of Kripal? And the second, you need not worry about anything. That's Andesh, October 1974. Thank you, Master, for bringing us together and giving us an opportunity to imbibe in your beautiful self.
And thank you, Eric, for reading for us. There were 79 people at today's satsang. Thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So, I love you, as friends, I would say. I regard you as the children of light. Because I love God, and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and have regard to you as well.